And the next time, if she wins, I win a big triple, and she breaks down. See, when it, so she, after that, she's just no more good. And she's been out ever since, and it happens all the time. I've often wondered why they do it, but those are the kind of problems you're confronted with in horse racing, is you've got a lot of people involved in it. You got more than a horse. You got the horse, you got the people that run the track, you got the owners, the trainers, and the jockeys. All these folks involved in it. And then you gotta ask the horse. See? So then that's where all these questions come in, to my mind. What do you do with this particular kind of race where you have a filly running against mares? And if she can run well against them, I don't throw her out. I don't throw her out, but I'll just look at her and kind of wonder what the heck they're doing and what the heck they're doing and see who's in there can beat them, who's going to win the race. That's what I'm concerned with. Now we come to Roman Inborn. I look at Roman Inborn. We know we're going to leave Roman Inborn in. If we're going to put it in the computer, you see, and we are going to put it in the computer. You are. But me, I'm going to throw Roman Inborn out. I won't put him in the computer, but he's already out in my mind. First of all, he's won too many races. He's tired. He's got to be getting tired. He's won too many races, one after another, being properly placed. So out he goes with me. But I'll put him in the computer to see how he shape up among these other horses. So I get down to Ledger Cat. Now Ledger Cat, to me, I look at him and I match him up with Bastro Garden and Luther and Chatter. These horses, they've been running against each other periodically. And I look at Ledger Cat, and I see the Ledger Cat in his second race back, he closed, running what I call easy. And I guess 8 furlongs and 1:33 and 1. Now look at his next race on a Grade 3, and Ledger Cat stays behind the pace for 2 calls and then moves up and finishes 1.5 lengths back in a Grade 3 in the Tamperan Handicap. Now something starts running through my mind. Well, this trainer has something in mind here. What was he doing with Ledger Cat? Was he pointing toward the day? Looks to me like that was on his mind, that he's pointing toward today, that he's going to run big today. So I said, with those 2 races under his belt, he's going to run extremely well today. So he's one of the horses I'm going to put in the computer. Now I look at Bastro Garden, and he ran extremely bad at Gulfstream Park last in October. But he had run well at Bay Meadows against 49er Days. He ran well at Del Mar, won at Del Mar, ran in pretty fair time. But he's not the kind of horse that Luther Chatter and Ledger Cat happen to be. Because if you look at Ledger Cat, he's been running extremely well until his last race. And his last race shows me a sign that he's getting tired. He's 33, 31, 33.5, 6.5 lengths back. That tells me something about his form. It's not as sharp as he was previously. And they're going 1.8 miles today. It's a 9-furlong race, and that was a Grade 1 going 1 mile. And it was in real fast time. Too fast a time for him. But also, he'd run extremely well on 17th day October and against an extremely fast pace. And that might have been his demise. You see that? Now, the difference between Ledger Cat and Luther and Chandler is Ledger Cat was running easy. Pointing him where? Toward today, in my mind. The trainer was pointing that horse toward today. He wants to win today. He's going to go all out to win today. Now, can he beat Roman Envoy? Roman Envoy will have his work cut out for him against this kind of a horse, who runs against a 1:33 and 1, 8-furlong race, and who keeps closing on it. He's going to have his work cut out for him, and I'm very much aware of that. Now, when I enter these horses in the computer, it will also reflect the same thing. If you turn over In the 60s.
63. All right. You turn to page 63. And you look at DXDC distribution, Ledger, Astro Guard, Blazer, and look where Roma is. It's going to have trouble here. Real trouble in this particular race against this kind of company. But I think what really puts the icing on the cake in this race is if you look at Entropy on the next page, it picks Ledger on top, Blazing, Roman ties with Blazing, and then Bistro Garden. Now, look at the XDC deceleration. And you come up with two horses there, Ledger and Blazing. Now, look at the probability. Ledger has a 0.97 to a 2.01 by Abistro Garden. Roman is 10.02 and Blazing is a 13.14. Now I look at the bottom of the page and you see how this race was run. If you look at Roman Envoy, he took the lead. But he couldn't stay there. When he came to the top of the stretch and the Ledger Cat moved on him, and he says, you're going to have to move. He said, well, I can't run with you. Goodbye. He kissed him goodbye and finished about seven. Way back. This is the way I anticipated this race would run. I didn't have no trouble with this race because what ordinarily I would do is just throw him out, forget about it, and then I've got two horses I'm going to bet, Ledger Cat and Lutheran. But the filly got in between them. And finished second, and that for the exacta. But you see, finding the place horse is a whole different ball game. In this particular race, I wasn't looking for the place horse. I was looking for the winner of the race. And then when I was at the track, at Intertrack, and I saw the odds at 17-1. This horse is a bet if I don't do anything but just look at the horses in this particular race and match them up. And look at the odds. This horse is automatically a bet. Automatically, he's a bet. And if I put five horses in the computer, and this horse still comes up third, at 17-1, I'm going to still bet. You're still going to get some of my money. Because that's the way I look at a race. I look at the race, how it shapes up, the horses are in form, in condition to run. What is the trainer thinking about today? And if I'm at the track, I'm looking at the odds. And when I see odds like this, they get an automatic bet from me. Any questions? It seems to me like you really got the information you need there from that particular race. That's what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to just look at that. And then let it run through your mind. What is the trainer doing with this horse? What is he doing with this horse? He keeps letting close, running beautiful. I learned this about running easy many years ago, over 20 years ago. If a horse comes out of a tandem and he was running easy, made a move maybe to three quarters and he's out of the race, or kept making a move, was never too far back off the pace, and he does that a couple of times, he's ready to win the race. Yes. Somebody got a... Someone have a...
Oh, hey. Where's our microphone? Here. I'm asleep at the switch here.
That should never run running.
What do you mean?
This kind of puzzles me. I've seen this happen before. We figured that Roman Envoy couldn't handle the... He would be facing a faster pace today than he had been in the past. But then it turns out that the fractions were 47. At 111-1, the kind of pace he had been running against all along. So
yeah, but look after that though. Look what happened after that. That's what killed him.
Okay.
When he ran 3/4 of a mile, they let him run like he wanted to for 3/4. And they'll do that on that Southern California circuit. Even on the main track, they'll do it. When they ran Bert Trandor against them, Bert shipped some Eastern horses back out here, I think, for the California Classics. And somebody called me from back east someplace and says, about a horse that was coming out. Says, oh, this horse, he's really tough back here. And I says, Bert Trandor is going to run him in the ground on that hard surface. And that's exactly what happened. These horses in California will let you run. You want to run 111 when they can run 109?
This is a good time to interject, Marion, that you can't look at the results after they've run and say, well, he ran to a 111 when you're projecting like a 109 or a 112 or something. It's how they project when they're running against each other. You don't get paid by looking at the results charts, what they did after they ran. You get paid on how they predict from the baselines you use. So don't confuse the results charts with the baseline.
I've heard you say this on tapes, and you said it again today. And I wonder what you meant by it. You said that the horse ran and just eased out of the race beautifully. What exactly do you mean? Ease to me is, hey, they go backwards and they're out.
Oh, it's a gesture.
You got to think about it.
It's like you're moving in on a couple of chicks, so you ease it up. You got to understand how to talk jive, man.
You got to think. You know, a lot of times we get into this horse race, and we think it's nobody but the horse and us. There are a lot of more people involved in this thing. You got trainers involved in it. You got owners. You got all these people. You gotta put yourself, let your mind kind of look at the race and say, well, what was the trainer doing this for? The trainer took him 3/4 of a mile, pushed him right up there to a half a length back, and then at the top of the stretch, he's 2.5 lengths back, and he finishes 3.5 to 4 lengths back. He eased out of that race. That's what he did. He eased out of that race. He's preparing for a later day. And you know the way he's preparing that horse? By racing him. That's what he's doing. He's preparing him by racing him for a big race. Big purse. This is a big purse race. Big money race. And that's what he's doing. And you'll see that in cheaper races too, you see. A lot of trainers race their horses in condition. They don't work them in condition. They race them in condition. And so they'll run a horse close to the pace and ease out of it. Or they'll stay just back off the pace and keep moving up. Whereas he's already instructed the jockey how to run that horse. And then when you say, oh, he can't run with the ease, they beat him before. And he goes by them like they're standing still. That's what happens. But that's the way I think. That's my way of thinking. I learned about that a long time ago. About a horse running easy. One beat me the other day. It was the last day of Santa Anita in the third race on the turf. And so I had a horse that I knew would run big in the race. So I went out and there was a tandem. This was a tandem race there were three other horses run against each other in there. And now what has happened is when I get out to the inner track, one of the horses had been scratched that I expect that was coupled that I expected a horse that was awfully fast for 3/4 to set the race up for him, and then these two horses, that horse and the horse that I had, would be running in the stretch. Then I looked at the tandem concept and I saw a horse that had been running, ran easy the last time in the cup. He finished 4th, so many lengths behind. And so I said, when I got out there, they had scratched this one of the couple horses. And then at the post, they scratched another horse who I knew was a speed horse. So then I went to looking elsewhere, and I said, well, the horse that ran easy in the tandem will run second today. He'll be second, but I'll beat him. Well, the speed horse broke on top, and the horse that ran easy in the tandem broke right behind him. But he was about 6.5 to 7 lengths back. But he's in front of everybody else, and the horse I picked is laying too far back. He made one big run, but when the speed horse stopped, the horse that had been running easy in the tandem was close to him, moved up, and my horse had started to make it his run and missed by a head. And the horse that ran easy in the tandem paid $48 to win. I should have had the other horse. My horse missed by a head. But I bought an exacto. I bought it one way exactly. I didn't even box it. But if I had access
access to this information prior to leaving home. And while I was doing the race, I would have never missed this race. If I had known that one of the horses in that were hooked together was going to be scratched, and the other speed horse in the race was going to be scratched at the post, I had no way of knowing that. So they put me in a real bind at the very last minute. And I just bought a exactly one way because the odds on my horse dropped too low for me just betting straight. But that's the concept of running easy. You got to look for the running easy in the tandem because he comes back to destroy him. Because what happens in a race is horses exert their energy in a race. The horse who run first and second many times exerted too much of their energy. And the horse who was running easy in the tandem is ready to win today because they don't have it. All the gas is out of the tank. That's what energy is about, you know. Too much was taken out of the horse the last race and he can't repeat it. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
And nobody couldn't get their questions answered, you're to be applauded. Now you can go have a free cup of coffee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, now we have a man who lives in Las Vegas who plays any track that you play at home, he's probably played to hear. So he'd be able to answer a lot of questions relative to tracks other than hometown track. I assume he's here. You're not here? Vic Flammel's not here? Oh, yes, he is. Vic, stop being so inobsequious. Or whatever that is. Palermo and Marion Jones, if you want to do something nice for them, buy them a new printer ribbon for Christmas. Yourself, I couldn't use your damn readout. You sent it to me, I can't Xerox it, so I got to put your races through and print them out dark. Same with you, Vic. I thought you'd make a lot of money.
Just let me know.
You got a 40-year-old ribbon.
Let me know in advance. I got a inkjet printer and I use the white.
Well, I'm letting you know now that I had to redo your races for you. Good. I want them heavy. And I want them. Marion just goes like this. I want to use my light ribbon. You can do whatever you want with it. Vic's going to take us to Louisiana. So y'all get ready. Go down there. We've got some oysters on the half shells, Cajun shrimp. A lot of fun. And here's Vic.
I think I play Louisiana for the love of food down there. It costs me about 5 pounds every time I go down there. I don't mind it. Actually, I live here and able to play anywhere I want to play, and I really ended up doing most of my work in Louisiana, primarily because I'm impressed by money. The prices you get in Louisiana are sort of better than what you get in the...
Hey, louder, Vic. Damn it, I thought you Italians were all loud.
My neck's kind of short. I have to stretch the reach of the microphone. Is that better?
That's good.
All right. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. I was saying I'm impressed with money in Louisiana by the money. You get much better prices there than you do in California. And in California, an $8 or $9 horse is a bargain, where in Louisiana it's the bottom of the pole. You get excited in Louisiana when it's $30, $40 or $50. But you're still conditioned. I just lost a race here last week. I was kind of in a hurry, and I looked at it, and I said, Jesus, what's wrong? This thing came up on top, and he don't stand for prayer, and I didn't have time. I was just hurrying into the book. I didn't bet it, and he came in and paid $55, and I looked back at the printouts, and the printouts were right. I didn't make a mistake. I just didn't have the courage to stick with something with that kind of odds on short notice without letting it mellow with me a little bit to accept it. But that's not uncommon in Louisiana, and you'll never see that very often in the West Coast tracks. Anyway, this particular race here is a typical of the races we have there. It's a $7,500 claiming race. And if you'll notice in the conditions that if they drop them down to 65, they get a 3-pound hedge. So in some of these races, you'll see horses running lower in the same race. And I say that because in this tandem race, the doctor that went nose and nose at the finish line with Peg of Joy was actually running for $1,000 cheaper to get the weight gain. But let's look at the horses themselves first and look at what I do. Every one of us is different in what we do, but I've got to the point now where I can look at the entire past performance of a particular horse. I get a feeling right away whether he belongs in the race or not. I'm looking at the buyer numbers, I'm looking at the class of the race, the claiming amount, I'm looking at the speed ratings, and I try to find in each horse the one pace line for that horse that's the best line in his performance there that represents what he would do today. And then I compare that afterwards with the other horses in the race. And looking this thing over, you've got four horses in this race that are out of a tandem race. And if you look at that first and you notice that and you pick that up, it becomes very apparent that the record stands just doesn't fit in here at all. He's nowhere near these four horses and what their performance was. So he's out of the picture. And Surgical Blues, in his last race, finished two lengths back from Peg of Joy and Dr. Doctor. So that last line there will represent what we use again today. He went in at 6,500. He's going in at 65 again today to get the 3-pound break, rather than going for the 75. The next horse down, Black Hawk Ridge, was not in the tandem, but if you look at his last line, that's equivalent to what he'll probably do today. It's just a tad bit stronger on the speed rating. That's a $55,000 claiming rate, $5,500 claiming race. And when you get to this $7,500 claiming race, he's 1.5 back with a pretty good speed rating. So we'll throw him in and let the computer help us sort this out. The next horse is Peg of Joy again, which is in a tandem race. And he won his last race at $7,500 claiming. He won by a nose. He was ahead at the beginning of the stretch and by a nose at the finish. Going with Dr. Doctor. So Dr. Doctor is also the next horse, and he's in that tandem, so we have him in there. And he went off that time for 6,500 to gain the 3 pounds, but all of his good races that he's had have been at 5,000. So I've been right with that. I slanted against Dr. Doctor, although he came up a little stronger in the readings. But I kind of put Dr. Doctor in my mind back right at that point. Even though we're going to see what the printouts tell us with him later. Kispy K, very quickly, when you look at this, you can look right at the buyer numbers. Now, I don't rely on buyer numbers primarily, but when you get as great a disparity in buyer numbers as you do with this one, you can check your other areas that you look at for confirmation, and you find out this horse really doesn't belong in here. The buyer numbers are bold enough that they stick out real fast. Don't accept them by themselves, but use them as a clue to look for other information to confirm that you don't want this horse in the race. Now, Shocking Angel was in this tandem, but if you see that he finished 25 lengths up this the track from the other horses, obviously something happened, and there's a note in here that he went lame. I guess Doc found that out somewhere later, but I didn't know it at the time. But I didn't think he really belonged in there at all. Bedtime Betty, again, doesn't fit. Just take a quick look at the buyers, and you see they're all so low that it's not even marginal. And Fletcher, likewise, the one possible race there, the second one back, he was far enough back in that one. I didn't include him. You probably could, but I don't remember exactly why I didn't do it. But I narrowed it down to basically four horses. And we have this line here, by the way, with a line through it, is a line a couple back on the Shocking Angel. I don't know if these names go in here. I guess Hart had a hard time with some of my printouts. They were kind of faint. But anyway, narrowed down basically to four horses. Now, if you look at the results on this, what I did with this race, in my mind, I did not like doctor, so I dutched surgical and pay. And of course, when the doctor won the race, I was a little bit sick. He was disqualified. There was some trouble as they were going head to head with each other, and he was put back to third. And of course, I cashed a better ticket than I would have if doctor had stayed in there. I'd have lost the race because I dutched surgical and pay. But back here on
66.
65 and 66. One of the things that I do a lot, and I printed this out, is I look at the turn time and all sprints and look to see what the horse looks like relative to all the other horses in the pie there. And as you can see in your turn time pie here, that Peg is the top horse. That's one of the things that helps me make my decision. Now, I guess you might call the way I handicap is it's a popularity contest among all the different signals in there. I look for the one that gets the most, the highest number of points, if you want to call it that. But you know, where the zeros are important, he's got the best zeros. Where the ones are important, he's got the best. And I look all the way through, and the horse that's got more confirmations, those are that and the second one are the two horses that I touch for my bet. And in this case here, in your DC sort with entropy, of course, your two lowest ones, the are Peg and Surgical, and the second highest in the entropy is usually the winner, just like the second choice in Thoramation was usually the winner. In this particular case, Peg had 10, and Doctor had 15, and he showed, even though in reality he won the race, but was disqualified for interference in the stretch. I don't remember now. I think there was a two different, what the spread was, whether we used a two adjust or not, but if you look at your replay here, the Blackhawk is the top horse, Doc is second, and Peg is third. And then the opposite screen, which would be like the two adjust, then you get Surgical and Peg, which was the two horses that I picked. And fortuitously, with the disqualification, I ended up with a little bit nicer return on than I would have Surgical. These starting pace numbers and probabilities were not available to me at the time. They're relatively new. And I'm looking forward to getting them as much as all of you are, because what I want to do, I want to go back to some of my old races when you get this stuff and see what it does. If you examining this probability odds here, that there's no question that Peg stands out. Although in reality, he did come in second, but it was, you know, just by a nose.
The horse don't say that. The computer knew the horse was going to be disqualified. Because you couldn't afford a ribbon, I had to put your program through your horses through the other program. That's why you see it.
I understand. Thank you. Now, I got a Dyconics inkjet printer, and you get the roughing, it gives a very light cut, and you can do a lot of it with it. But if you want to get a real fine laser finish, then it's slow. It goes over it a couple times, and you get a laser finish with it. So for Doc, I'm going to use the laser print finish here on how just to accommodate that. So. As you get old, your eyes get bad, you know. I can tease him about being old, because I'm 2 years older than he is, so.
Yes, sir, Daddy.
Anybody got some questions that I want to ask?
Venture.
Did you use the finish position of the winner in the tandem race for the other two horses?
Well, normally, what happens is in the tandem race, they reverse.
He did the actual beating leg when he entered.
Yeah.
The program will reverse the tandem if it should be reversed. You're looking dubious. Go back to the microphone of the gentleman. Can't see if the mic will pick up that dubious look.
Yeah, the, I don't know whether to put in the beaten legs of the winner.
Put in what's in the form. The program will reverse it. If it, if it should be. They usually, most of the time, statistically, the winner of a tandem will not win the second time out. They'll reverse themselves. But anyone else have a question?
Right,
you better watch Donahue so you learn how to run around with that mic better. He does it down, he's got it down to the science.
You made a comment that usually in thoramation and entropy, the horse that shows up second wins. Can
yes.
you explain that?
Well,
or could you go over that again briefly?
Well,
okay.
All right.
There's a reason for it. Vic, in Vic's case, it's like subjective statistics. Like Spencer would put an article in the follow-up where the PDV horse never wins, and then I get 50 letters where it won 17 out of 19 races. It's a subjective view with some people. But we purposely rate the place horse higher in entropy than we do the win horse. Why? Because so many of our people for 17, 18 years now can get the winner, but they can't find the place horse. So as a boost to help you find the place horse, both thoramation and entropy tend to produce the place horse out of the horse that finishes number one, if not in the DPH hole, and the win horse to appear to come in second. Now there's a reason for this in real life, and you, if you think it through, you'll know what it is. The pace line you will select for a horse will be a real good one. And from that line, the horse is reversing its form. It's going downward. Whereas the pace line you pick for a horse with not as good a rating is on its way up. So you say you've taken a race where a horse just won, and he comes out number one on your readouts. But he is not going to run back to that line because it peaked at that line. Whereas the horse you took from a secondary readout wasn't quite as good, is on the rise, and he will then appear to be there. So we reversed it a little bit so that the horse that's going to come in second will look better than the horse that's going to come in first. So it's also a little lesson for these one-horse bettors. They try to bet the top one, they're going to lose every time. Not every time, but a lot more than they should. You got to bet them both because it's an interrelationship. Jimmy will explain this. Jimmy's, the matchup is all based on the interrelationship of the horses against each other, and that's the way they match up. That's why Jimmy never gets the place horse, because he only bets the one who wins.
Another one, Spencer?
Yeah. You didn't say anything about weight in this.
Wait.
When you were determining whether Doctor was going to beat Pegajoy. Pegajoy had 5 pounds at it since the last race, and only 1 pound for Doctor.
I don't look at weight.
Is that Eric speaking? Was that Eric? No, thank God.
I don't look at weight on a horse. All that tells me is that trainer's not sure enough for him, and he's trying to buy a little weight, because these trainers all believe that the weight's going to do something.
Let me ask you a question. Are you winning?
I have been the last 3 days.
Then that's fine. As long as you're winning, look at the weight all you want. But if you're not winning, get some white out and white out the weight. The weight has is meaningless. The best horses carry the highest weight because that's why they care. If you look at weight and you start trying to put weight into this method, you're going to be in trouble.
So on this race, you would not consider weight, even though they were nose and nose, and now one horse for some reason has 5 pounds, and the other one only has one.
Don't consider it.
You're mixing two methodologies here.
We do not consider it. The only thing it did to me was when I looked at the horse, if he keeps going in for the lower weight, tells me the trainer is not too sure he's trying to give that horse a little edge. It tells me he's not quite as strong as you from 5,000 to 7,500 race. There's a little factors that come in there, and all things being equal, I didn't think Doctor was capable of matching it with Pegajoy.
I told you never to throw out a doctor horse.
I know you told me that, Doctor, but...
verify it for yourself. If you want to think that weight's important, if it's very important to you, see if it's important to you, not using weight will hurt you because you'd be emotionally fighting against it. But let me tell you, statistically overall, we got some people in here who win 70% day in and day out, and not one of them ever, even Brohammer doesn't look at weight.
I used to look at weights. Yeah. It's one of the things that I learned to drop, and it was very difficult for me. There are many things that Doc taught us. And finally, I reached a point at one point in time, I said, look, I died slowly on this one. I died slowly on this one. I said, I quit. I'm not going to hell with all these old ideas. I'm just going to listen to what he says, and I'm going to start to do it.
You going to have longer weight?
In all races, we do not consider weight, period. If you want to consider it, be my guest. We don't consider weight. You do what you want. It's a free country.
Do you ever find yourself getting catchy on a horse that has run a very hard race like that Peg of Joy and always coming back against maybe more of a speed track? And I'd find that, I would have found that horse a bit difficult to play in that situation.
No, it's, that's not, it's over there.
Over there.
That's not really a problem at Louisiana Downs. It is something to look at Fairgrounds. Fairgrounds has such a long stretch that if the horse is involved in a stretch duel, the chances of him coming back at Fairgrounds and winning again are quite remote. It takes a lot out of him unless he's had some rest. That's very peculiar to that particular track. I don't know if there's another track in the country that has a longer stretch than that one.
Spencer, take it back to that.
It does. Fairgrounds does have a murderous stretch. And you get two horses in a stretch duel. The guy that won that race, he just, I don't remember the stats on it, but they don't come back hardly ever to win again two in a row without a long rest.
Describe to me what a speed track is. I want to hear this.
Well, the speed track where the horses that seem to get the early, early shape,
which one is, give me an example.
Well, for example, in Chicagoland area, when the
Arlington in the summertime?
Well, not even so much Arlington, more like Sportsman in the spring. You get a horse that gets the lead, and it takes Secretariat to beat him.
Okay, I want you to do this for me. Next time the Sportsman's runs, I want you to do every race every day, just for about 2 weeks. And I want you to report actually what happens, not what's your subjective perception of what happens, if that's right. Would you do that for me? It'll help you. You see, we are horse people, horse players are plagued by subjective statistics that they cannot justify when they do a true survey of those statistics. So just find out how many, what the early energy or the median energy of the winners at Sportsman's at your speed distance is for the first 50 races next week. Would you do that for me? Because I'm not arguing with you, I want you to verify it. Then you can use those kind of words. Spencer, you got a gentleman up here?
Over there.
You
got muddy tracks. I noticed that the pig and the doctor and the surgical last ran on the muddy tracks. How do you deal with it?
Well, when I first started playing there, the first time it rained, I lost a lot of races because I thought everything changed because it was muddy. And it was just as fast, sometimes faster, in the mud over there. That particular track, the first few days after rain, it doesn't bother me. Let them go. Louisiana Downs is a fast track. Early horses win there, period. Once in a while, something happens and the track changes, it becomes sustained, but it's very rare. If it's rained for several days and it gets torn up pretty good, it'll switch and become sustained for a while until it dries out again. But it is an early track, and I've seen them running there, and I got fooled on a turf, first turf races I played there. I started playing looking for the sustained horses, and I began losing those races. And you take a close look at the turf, and it looks like a dirt race with some grass growing on it a little bit here and there. And they call that turf. But the turf there is just about as fast as the main track, except when it rains, and it gets in there long enough. But just the first flash rain doesn't change anything. Just stay with your, you got to grit your teeth a little bit until you do it for a while and get used to it at that track. Like I said before when I first spoke to you here last night, you really got to know the track you're playing. And you got to know all these little idiosyncrasies about that track. And if you don't know them, those little things are going to come back and bite you. And those decisions you make will cost you races because you don't know those particular things. And what I do there will not hold up at Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Del Mar, anywhere else. It's right there.
On the end of the sword, lowest best, are there times when highest best?
No.
Well,
high might win, but it's not best.
I'm thinking of an extremely early track.
Well, sometimes. There's a rule for that. If the horse is number one early, you put him into your handicapping program.
because here...
I'm serious. You mean that aha with that Yugoslavian aha, meaning I didn't hear what you said. Always put in the one early horse into your thermation, even though he comes out bad on your entropy final sort. That is a absolute. That is goes along with the program just as much as turning on your computer. Now you may speak.
Because here the doctor actually won the race, even though he got disqualified, and he was second highest, so to speak.
But the computer, I told you, the computer knew he was going to get disqualified.
No, listen, he's not really that high. There are four horses here, and these horses are all pretty well even. I've seen races in New Orleans, in the Louisiana Downs, where he'll put in, say, six horses in entropy, and on the right, one will have a 22, but all the way over to the left under E will be a 1. If there's a 1 there, that's an early track, and quite often that's the winner. So you don't throw out the highest.
I got to disagree. The doctor is third. He's in the top 3
yeah.
on entropy. Look on page 65. Doctor is in the top 3. 3 black is the one that's high.
Yeah, that's what he said. The second high.
Yeah, all we ever said was that the top 3 in entropy win place and show inordinately high, and he's third. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. That taking these rules literally, when I first started playing with entropy, low is best, without thinking past that, I started throwing horses out and then finding out that I lost the race. And I got to looking at them, and why was I losing them? Because I'm throwing out high horses, but they had ones under E, and that's an early track, and all my other data told me that's an early track, and I wasn't paying attention to it, so I immediately stopped doing that. And I started recouping those horses. If they got a 1 there, I don't throw them out. They're in the mix always. And the rest of the program, if there's a 1 there and the track is early, we'll pick that up, and you'll start to see it showing up on your MUV, your EMUV, all your different other readouts that you go to for confirmations, where you look for your early, that one horse with the high entropy and the one on the left will start coming up high in all the other early numbers that you use for confirmations.
Question.
Yes.
On the Louisiana Downs, I was playing a few races there. I've noticed lately that the racing form is not putting out the results charts for Louisiana Downs, yeah. Hawthorne, and all these. So I just gave up on it. Like you said, you got to know your track.
Well, let me tell you what happened. When Doc called me and said, I need a couple of races to put in the book for the seminar, okay, as soon as I go out there, I'll get you 2 races, and as soon as I get the charts, I'll send them to you. Well, I got the 2 races. He called me on Monday, and at that time, Louisiana was starting on Thursday. They were only 4 days a week until they closed. So I went Thursday and I picked these 2 races that are in here. There were no charts. Finally, by Monday, I called the racing form up and said, hey, what's going on? And what happened was the Midwest Special Edition racing form had been printed in Chicago, and they shifted it to Phoenix. I spoke to the man in Phoenix there that's doing this, and he doesn't have all the mechanics through yet. So they graciously faxed me the 2 charts I needed for this program to my fax at home, and I shipped them to Doc. That's how we got the charts. But they will be having them again. It just happened. They were very apologetic about it, but
when they put Greenwood on there, it happened. But when they put Greenwood on that racing form,
yeah.
I think it's great. The track up in Canada, I noticed they stopped printing the results charts.
They stopped because they switched the printing operation from Chicago to Phoenix. I spoke to them in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. So
why do you need results charts? If you have enough faith in your program, you don't need any results charts.
Yes, I do.
don't bring levity to a handicapping seminar. We're serious, folks.
Anybody else?
Looks like he's got the lantern up looking for one.
You're speaking of...